This is Halftime the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show The Playmakers that airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 4:30 to 2. It's the one and only Jeffrey Hill Jr. in the building, man. We have a jam-packed show talking about FAMU football back in SWAC championship contention, as well as college football firing across the landscape and ending off with some NBA and some college basketball. But tell me these amazing topics. I have some great guys in the studio. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
Man, what's going on, man? It's Slim Trim in the building.
What's that, y'all? It's your boy, Country.
Yo, it's Wes from the 904, baby. Duval in the building.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo Woods, finest college Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Yo, it's your boy, JB the King. We back here with Halftime with the Playmakers.
Now, fellas, as always, we're going to start with some FAMU football. Coming off of a big pivotal week, if you ask me, just now beating Southern, winning 43-35. Fellas, what's your first initial takeaway from this game?
We scored some more points, guys. Yeah, we played a lot offense.
Of a lot of points.
We played offense, yo, boys. That's something we haven't seen recently.
I know, right?
You know, we had some at homecoming. We were like, well, that's all corn. You know, they suck. But then we came and we did it again.
I don't know. Southern fired their coach as well.
Y'all not going to let me finish off my thought. Southern's not the most competitive team. And, you know, they're 1-7, you know, 0-4 in the SWAC. But, like, you know, it's nice to see some consistency. It's nice to see that we can score the ball more than, you know, one game. It's not an outlier. We have the ability to do it. We repeated it. I like to see that.
Not even that. We actually took some shots, fellas. Like, chucked the ball down the field a lot. You know, RJ Johnson went out there, 287 passing yards and a touchdown. Like, you know, at one point in time, midway in the season, we were asking ourselves, can we stretch the ball down the field? Now, we're chucking the ball down the field. Like, we're not afraid to anymore because of our quarterback play. That's what I like from the game.
Yeah, we had almost 300 yards of passing, 547 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
43 points total that we scored. And then looking at the schedule, you know, like Jeff said, we back in SWAC contention. If we beat Jackson State this weekend.
Big if.
Right, that's a massive if. But I believe their quarterback went down, right?
Yes,
quarterback went down to Grambling, yes.
The quarterback went down last week against Grambling. We have to beat Bethune in the rivalry game. They're ahead of us. Alabama State, I don't think they'll lose another game this season, so they'll probably be in. But we'd have to beat Bethune and we'd have to beat Jackson to be in the SWAC championship game. We win the SWAC championship game, shoot. We got to just get there. If we get there, then it's, you know, one game take all. But I'm really happy with the performance offensively, defensively, which is our calling card. It didn't look really good.
That has been the problem.
We gave up 200 rushing yards.
I mean, it is against Trey Harley.
One of a good top rusher in the SWAC.
I mean, that's not to excuse the amount of yards that they gave up, but it is against one of the best running backs in the SWAC. But the pass defense was decent. Southern was held to under 200 yards. So that's at least something positive on the defensive side.
We outgained them on, you know, outpassed them and outrushed them. Jamal Haley had a breakout game.
Stepped up for Thad Franklin coming down.
157 yards, three touchdowns.
Stepped up.
Great game.
Yeah, shout out to FAMU. I think the talk on the podcast is a lot more positive than we were talking about FAMU on the live show on Saturday. We were kind of still upset about the Alcorn. Even though we won, we thought that we should have been a lot more convincing.
Yes.
But I can say the same thing with this game as well. I don't think Southern is that great of a team, but we were able to put up 43 points. Offense looks moving for the second week in a row. So nothing but positive for me.
I got a question though for y'all. Do y'all think, I know it's just one game, but do y'all think Cozy saved his job?
No.
This is the game he saved his job.
This is the savior job.
Jackson State is the game he saved his job.
I'm not gonna lie, Cozy's not the head coach after this season.
So hypothetically, let's say he beats Jackson.
His job is saved.
And beats everybody else but Bethune.
He's gone.
You have to win out.
That's the only way.
The win out, he saves his job. Okay. That's it, though. Like, anything else, no other, like, oh, you drop one, but you beat Jackson, you beat BCU. Like, nah. You have to win out.
It's the only way.
Now, pivoting towards Jackson State, they're fresh off of a loss to Grambling and a nail biter in Las Vegas, losing 26-24. FAMU, they're facing their hands. Coach Cozy always says in his presser, like, everything's still in front of us, and this is the moment where everything, like, the roads meet.
Yeah.
The roads meet.
The rubber meets the road.
Exactly. Because if they win, FAMU got to hope and pray that Alabama State loses to Prairie View. They got to hope and pray.
Actually, if you're looking at the strength of schedule or strength of opponents, we, even with a win out, we still would need Alabama State to drop two.
No, we wouldn't.
Two.
Drop two? Because Jackson State already has one SWAC loss.
Correct.
We only have one SWAC loss.
Correct.
So if we beat Jackson and we beat Bethune,
Alabama State and Alabama State loses to Prairie View.
Alabama State has the tiebreaker against us.
Right, but it's the championship. The top two teams get in.
No, it's East and West.
Alabama State already lost to Jackson State. That's one.
Yeah, we're all in the SWAC East.
I thought they were in the West.
That's what I'm saying. We have to pray that Alabama State loses to Prairie View.
They need to drop two games.
That's on me.
That's why I say it's like the chances of him winning out, it's actually slim to none. How many losses we got in SWAC play? We got two, right?
We got one.
That's what I'm saying.
We got to hope and pray.
I don't know why I thought we had to. We have to hope and pray.
Play.
We didn't play against Mississippi.
We have to hope and pray. Alabama State loses to Prairie View. Because if they win and we win, just chalk it up.
Dang.
I hope this is the motivation that the team needs, man.
But also, too, we could win off of strength of victories, but we're not winning on that. We're not winning on that tiebreaker.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Rubber meets the road here this week.
Like, it's not even in our hands. Like, yes, if we went out, but still, it's not even in our hands. We need an Alabama State loss.
Yeah, so if anybody listening in attendance, they probably gonna score up.
I don't know. Andrew Body, it don't look like he's slowing down.
It doesn't.
Andrew Body actually looks better.
It doesn't.
Hey, somebody, they need
to throw a flag next time he decides.
He's already SWAC player.
Somebody in the FBS need to throw him a bag and get him out the SWAC.
Five touchdowns, 304 passing yards.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow. That's SWAC player of the year.
He's gonna be Indiana starting quarterback next year.
No, I believe he doesn't have any eligibility left.
I think this is last year.
I believe he was injured last year. I believe he was class of 2022. So yeah,
he definitely finna put that pill in.
He could have waived.
I was class of 2021.
Yeah, see, look at you. He's trying to be funny. It didn't even work.
Hey man, all I know is you're old.
Anyways, guys, before we talk about a legendary game that happened this previous Sunday, what is your guys' score prediction? FAMU versus Jackson State with a hurt quarterback in Jackson State. We don't know if he's going to start.
Keep that in mind. I'm going to go 21-24.
21-24 FAMU or Jackson State?
I'm going to go FAM.
Okay.
Country? I picked FAM in like 3 weeks. I'm going
to
go FAM.
That's why I had to ask.
I didn't pick FAM every single time.
So you're switching?
No.
Oh, okay. It sounds like you're switching.
I'm always going to ride for FAM. But I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
But sure. You know why I am switching. I do think FAM is not going to come on top with this one.
Okay.
It might be a close game. I say probably like 23-28. FAM doesn't get it on the last second.
I always rock with FAM. We always roll with the Rattlers. But it's going to be tough. I'm going to be sidelined, so I'm hoping for a good game. I'm going to take FAM 28-21 since we've been scoring points recently.
Well, I mean, I'm always going to be a Rattler. But I've seen Jackson State, and they are more than their quarterback. They have a great offense, great defense. And, I mean, I think with Jacoby and Morgan being out, it'll be a much closer game than if he was there. But I'm still taking Jackson State. I would say 31-27, Jackson State.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm going to go with Jackson State as well. I think FAMU will keep it relatively close. I can see it coming down to the wire. I'm going to go 28-24, Jackson State.
I'm going to go FAMU 31, Jackson 28.
Wow. We're in the same range.
Everybody in the same range, essentially. All right, fellas, we're going to move along to college football. A lot of things have taken place, but we're going to first start with the games. First off, number 8, Ole Miss versus Oklahoma, ranked number 13. Thoughts on that game?
Great game. Really good. I think up until the end, I don't know. I didn't really like John Mateer's decision-making at the end. I think that kind of cost them the game. Ole Miss defense really, really stepped up. I'm very impressed. I think it was kind of a must-win for both teams because you look at two losses and now it's kind of you're outside looking in the playoffs. But now Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss is legit and Trinidad is legit. And I just think it was a really good performance from both teams, honestly.
Stop looking at me like I don't like Trinidad. I just call him Trinidad and Tobago. That's the only thing.
I don't hate on him.
I just have a nickname. I can't have a nickname.
That's a slanderous name.
No, it's not. It's a country. That's it.
It is a country, but that's a slanderous name.
No, it's not.
I will say this on Ole Miss. Ole Miss definitely had a great game, but they're not. You know, even though they don't have no more ranked opponents, it's not a smooth sailing. They still have a trap game with South Carolina. and Lenore Sellers over there, and then obviously I'm gonna still throw Florida in there
and the trap game and the egg bowl, the egg bowl, the egg bowl
too. Oh, and Mississippi State.
And one thing we gotta start putting some respect on Mississippi State name. Mississippi State is actually Mississippi not State's garbage.
They just lose.
If you watch these Mississippi State games,
listen, the way they
watched the Texas game, it was a comeback. It was like 17 points or something.
I've seen all of these Mississippi State games. The one against Tennessee, the one against Florida, and the one against Texas. Mississippi State has lost themselves all three of those games.
Yeah, Mississippi State some like, great it's, losers.
It's just bad.
It's terrible. But I understand what you mean by that. It's not a bad take.
I think Ole Miss looked great. I think the offense was clicking. Mm-hmm. I think Ole Miss really attacked Oklahoma's defensive backs. Mm-hmm. Exposed them in the secondary. You had Winston Watkins go for 111 over receiving yards.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, though, even though the scoreboard doesn't say it, Oklahoma's defense, I feel like
their D line was great. Yeah, the secondary was piss poor.
But Oklahoma's defense,
I like their defense.
I feel like they did enough. I feel like Oklahoma's offense is what let them down. They gave Ole Miss way too many possessions. If the defense is on the field for that long, then you're going to expect Ole Miss to score that many points.
So I will say this, though. If he wins out, he finally gets his opportunity to be in the college football playoffs because he has no more trap games besides Mississippi State. And I understand what you want to say about South Carolina, but South Carolina has been the biggest disappointment team. Well, second biggest disappointment team. Third biggest disappointment team.
Was it fourth? Fifth?
I don't think South Carolina has been fourth.
Okay.
Not five, not six.
Not seven.
Not eight. But yeah, they've been the fourth biggest disappointing team. But nobody really expected that much from South Carolina, but they expected them to be competitive and win games. But South Carolina has not been doing that. Lenore Sellers, who's a Heisman hopeful, has been very disappointing this year.
I wouldn't even bank that on Lenore's fault. Like, it's the offensive line. Offensive line has been pissed poor.
Same offensive line from last year.
It's been pissed poor. Nothing has improved.
They was actually better last year.
Didn't they go at 9-3 last year?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the offense has just been bad. Any other thoughts about this game, fellas?
John Mateer really disappointed me in the fourth quarter. I think there were a lot of times where they could just get the first down. And he was slinging it down the field, double coverage, 30-yard pass instead of taking the easy route.
No, it was wasn't it like a fourth?
It was like the third.
He had a check down flat route wide open. He gonna throw it in double coverage on the sideline. Yes. What are we doing?
So that was really disappointing because I was really high on him all year. So other than that, we can move on.
I just think at some point he got a little trigger happy. He played bad the previous game against Texas, and then I think he was just trying to make a play. I have hope for Mateer. It's not going to happen this year.
Do you think the hand surgery played a factor in?
Absolutely.
Sure.
I think last week.
No, a hand surgery doesn't play a decision on your decision making.
Yeah, this week was unexcusable.
If we're talking about him underthrowing balls, overthrowing balls, like that, then we could blame that on the hand surgery. But you talking about your eye test, missing wide open receiver, as a wide open receiver, no. It's the same thing with Jackson Arnold down in what's it called? Auburn. At Auburn. He's actually awful.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Cam Coley. We knew Jackson Arnold wasn't very good though.
Like getting him in the transfer portal was like a big question mark for Auburn because like he just has a high upside. He can make a few ESPN plays, but as a quarterback, he's never looked great.
One thing I start believing is stars when it comes to behind quarterback names. Like if he a 5-star, 4-star, do y'all remember Malachi Nelson?
Do y'all remember
Jalen Rashada?
He's
a third string quarterback at Sac State, and he was a consistent five star All-American third string at Sacramento State University.
A lot of it's like the mental, because like some people just can't come and play like college football because the 5-stars usually they're just an elite athlete at whatever program they're at, and like they're just kind of dominating children to them, and then they come and have to play college football where there's a real strategy and there's real people who can play with you, like have the same physical abilities as you. That's the real problem with 5-stars. They come and they try to act like it's still high school.
Yeah, it depends on your competition.
But the thing with Malachi Nelson, you're at UTEP now. There's no excuse.
UTEP. Shout out UTEP.
Somebody told me, where was he at before? One of my homeboys was playing in JUCO football, and he was explaining to me like what happens to quarterbacks that are 5-stars that go and don't produce like they're supposed to. One, when you're a 4-star, 5-star quarterback, everybody is ready envisioning in your head that you're going to be an NFL superstar quarterback. Mm-hmm. So when you get to college football and you don't start your first year, it kind of messes up with your mental because you're not used to not starting. Like you're not used to being a backup, holding the keys, holding the plays, like just waiting on your turn. So a lot of these quarterbacks jump ship a little bit too early. And a lot of these college offenses are very complex, where, like you said, you was a lead athlete, you could just make stuff happen where you got 10 to 15 plays. Now you got 100 plays a game. Like, yeah. And some people just not equipped to handling all that.
Speaking about five stars, let's move along down to good old Death Valley.
Oh, man.
Where Texas A&M walked in Death Valley at night and put up 49 points to LSU's 25. Fellas, let's just talk about the game.
I just want everyone should get their takeoff.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize for what I said on the live show. I said LSU was going to win this game.
We all kind of looked at you crazy. Q was like, "What? Why?" I mean,
it was a little bit of merit to it.
It's LSU at night.
It's Death Valley at night. I mean, revenge game.
I'm gonna be quiet.
You know, I mean, I feel like there was a recipe for LSU to win. And even in the first half, it was a recipe for LSU to go and get that game. But I feel like it was the same script as all of these LSU losses. Their offense just can't.
Yeah,
just
right. We saw exactly what we knew about LSU, bro. Offense, their defense was elite, and then their offense scored none.
Offense went ghost in the second half, only 7 points, and that was in the fourth quarter. Mm. That's empty calories.
And it feels like LSU just quit. Mm. I mean, we see Brian Kelly's gone, but LSU just quit. They just quit on their coach.
Their second half possessions, 3 plays, -4 yards. 6 plays, 13 yards. Mm. 3 plays, 0 yards. Mm-hmm. 4 plays, 6 yards. 4 plays, 9 yards. And they had that last touchdown.
Correct.
Just gave up. Like, it was honestly pitiful.
Oh, last touchdown with my backups, too.
You forgot a punt return for a touchdown, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my fault. Yeah. Oh, my fault. Yeah, just a hot mess. I think it was a deserved fire. And you go ahead and talk about your team.
Anybody else?
Nah, you got it.
I have nothing to say.
No, just shout out Marcel Reed. What an athlete.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the firing of Brian Kelly was 114% acceptable. Let me tell y'all something. We have never lost to Texas A&M in Death Valley, for one. For two, NBK's first, no, I'm not even going to talk about BK. Let's start in 2000. First LSU head coach, his first 4 years, Nick Saban, he went 48-16. SEC championship, national championship in his first 4 years. Les Miles in his first 4 years at LSU, 42-11. SEC championship, national championship. Ed O, and his, like, y'all had a lot, everybody had a lot to say about Ed O, but Ed O went 40-9. SEC championship and a national championship.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
No. You
cannot. Shout out Joe Brady.
I was about to say, how much does Joe Burrow, like, play a factor into that championship?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Joe Brady plays a huge factor in that.
Joe Brady does not play a huge factor into that, because Joe Brady wasn't even an offensive coordinator. He was a passing game coordinator. So let's stop right there. That has nothing to do with that. We're going to leave that alone. Now, BK, in his first 4 years at LSU, he went 34-14. I'm including this season. No, nothing. A SEC championship appearance, correct. But the only thing that he has on his record that he did that was so good at LSU was he beat Alabama by 1 point. And he fooled all of us. BK was never for LSU. At first, it seemed like a great hire, but it was a bad hire. First thing he did when he got to LSU was he did the worst thing you could possibly do at LSU. It's one person at LSU, one person that has been the same staple for LSU winning national championships at the national championship. And Brian Kelly fired him as soon as he got there, because he wanted who? He wanted his guy. Yeah. He fired Tommy Muffet. And if you don't understand why that game last night was so important, because Tommy Muffet is the strength and conditioning coach at Texas A&M. He knew everything about LSU. He knew exactly what LSU was going to do. He knew exactly how LSU plays. And he knows everything about Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly is stubborn. Brian Kelly doesn't care about the team. Brian Kelly cares about him. Brian Kelly, if they lose, Brian Kelly blames the team. He doesn't blame himself.
I also want to add, when it came to, like, pivotal, like, transfer portal moves, I heard Brian Kelly was at a beach in Florida.
Brian Kelly did not even want to hit the transfer portal. That's why LSU didn't get transfer portal play. So this year he decided he wanted to go all in the transfer portal, and he did do that. But guess what? Not one player that he had in the transfer portal besides our corner is starting, and our two safeties are starting on the LSU team. Rue and Barron Barr, same thing. But Brian Kelly had a terrible offseason, but it was a good offseason. But the reason why it was terrible, because of what? His coordinators. He doesn't know how to hire coordinators. And let me tell y'all something. LSU wasn't even about to fire Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly did not have a bad start. He had a bad start, but it wasn't that bad. He's 5-3. That's not room to fire somebody. But let me tell y'all why Brian Kelly got fired. Remember I told y'all Brian Kelly is very arrogant? I remember I told y'all that, right? Let me tell y'all something. So Sunday, the LSU faithful came up. No, I'm not even the LSU faithful. Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director.
He didn't get checked too.
Oh, no, no, no. Scott Woodward, good. He good on our books. We love Scott Woodward. I'm going to tell you why.
He's the same guy behind Jimbo Fisher.
I'm going to tell you why.
Scott Woodward is about LSU sports, not just LSU football. And he actually cares about the state of Louisiana and football in Louisiana. Scott Woodward came up to Brian Kelly and was like, look, I don't want to fire you, but the problem with your team is not the team, it's your offensive coordinator. You need to let go of John Sloan. Brian Kelly said, no, John Sloan is not the problem. The players are the problem. They're not buying into his offense. See, and they had a nasty argument. You want to know how nasty the argument got? The governor and the mayor of Louisiana and prominent figures in Louisiana came up to Scott Woodward's office and said he needs to go. Because things are not going to change with Brian Kelly in office.
How true is this?
Oh, you could look it up.
It's true.
You could look it up.
True. I read it.
Oh, I was on LSU radio the whole Sunday. I was like, Brian Kelly has to go. And the thing about Louisiana, we love you when you win, and we will support you when you lose.
If you are for the city,
if you for the football, Brian Kelly don't care about Louisiana. He doesn't embrace Louisiana. He doesn't go out to the restaurants. He doesn't even come out to the events. He does not care about Louisiana. And that was everybody's problem. When he won against Clemson, everybody was like, oh, it's a win. Like, oh, we don't really see nothing. We have not scored more than 30 points all season. The only person we scored 30 points and more was, I think, Southeast Louisiana when we scored 56.
That doesn't count empty calories.
Even empty calories, you scored 23 points against La Tech. What are we talking about here? I got some stats for y'all. Scoring offense, 25.6 points a game, 87 ranked, last in the SEC. Total offense, 366 yards a game, 95th overall, last in the SEC. Passing game offense, y'all get the notion. Last in SEC. Rush offense, last in SEC. Actually, rush offense, we was bottom last. We won 17th. If we're last in every single category, how did we get to 5 wins? Oh, our defense has been playing phenomenal. And the problem, y'all see what the issue is? The offensive coordinator. And what Brian Kelly said, I'm not firing him. But guess who got fired today, too?
Joe Sloan.
Exactly. So why would you go to bat for that man?
But my question to you is, do you like Frank Wilson coming in as
the I love Frank okay. Wilson coming in. Because the thing was, Frank Wilson came back because of all the negative things that was said about Brian Kelly. And he cares so much about the LSU football program that he was willing to come back. After Brian Kelly then fired Kevin Falk, who's been somebody in the LSU office for so long. Like, you got rid of people that, like, LSU's a family. If y'all haven't got the notion of that so far, like, they care about the people that come from Louisiana, that comes homegrown. You got players that don't even want to come back to the team.
Malik Neighbors also posted on his story a video of somebody kicking rocks. So I think you can see how even his former players feel about him. They don't like current players.
Like, look at what you did to Ashton Stamps. Ashton Stamps was coming in as an All-American. You did not
play
him. He's
on the team,
him.
Correct?
Correct. You did not play him because you didn't like the way his attitude towards you. Because he was telling you that you're a bad person. And he was telling you the truth. My bad, what were you saying?
I was just saying, do you think that change will be immediate? Like, will you play Bama this week in the number 4 in the
next
nation?
Next week.
So we always get an annual bye before we play Bama.
Yeah. So, like, you have a week to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You have a whole new coaching staff. Everyone got sent out.
Mm-hmm.
You have talent already. You don't need to, like, this isn't, you don't really need to reload. You just need a different leader. Do you think that changes already?
I think it do change because it was the leadership that was the issue at LSU. It wasn't nothing that was, y'all see, at every single position, we got talent everywhere. Yep. NFL product, mm-hmm. talent everywhere, mm-hmm. in every single position. That's a testament to leadership.
So
who said they look like, it looked like LSU quit? Who said that?
It definitely
looked like we was up at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, we was y'all actually up. We was playing good.
Defense was playing great. Blocked the punt.
What could you do as a defense? What can you do as a defense when your offense is completely stagnant? Three and out. It was one point, I blinked my eyes and then we was down 35-18. I'm like, whoa. What just happened?
Yes.
Like, and it's been the same issue. Like, why can't you just adapt to the program of LSU? Like, listen, the city, the state will give you the formula to win. All you gotta do is just buy in.
What are you expecting against Bama? Like, do you expect to see a completely different team with completely different results?
I completely see a competitive game.
Competitive
because
game?
One thing about people in Louisiana, they love Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson is Louisiana. Like, a
that
lot
is
of,
the program.
Yeah, that is the program. That's the program. That when he left, like, everybody was like, no, you got to bring Frank Wilson back. And when Brian Kelly brought Frank Wilson back, it wasn't because of Brian Kelly. It was because of Scott Woodward. When Scott left Louisiana, he understood what Frank Wilson meant to Louisiana, how he was recruiting a homegrown talent from Louisiana. Like, the little schools that people don't talk about, like the people like Greed Williams that you didn't know about, Devin White, that's all products
Tredavious
of...
I just want to throw Tredavious in there.
Tredavious was one of them because Tredavious was a low product recruit. But when Frank Wilson got a hold of him, Tredavious went all the way to a 4-star. But Frank Wilson already knew about him by the time he was a sophomore. And these are the homegrown talent that people talk about that Brian Kelly doesn't have connections with. Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, you can finish. You can finish. And I'll ask everybody a question.
What you about to ask?
My question to everybody is, you know, $54 million buyout for LSU.
Oh, that's already been bought out.
So with that being said, this is the highest like hottest job out there right now.
It is.
I disagree.
No,
it's the hottest. It's the hottest job right now.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna tell you right now. This is no disrespect to no schools. This is no disrespect to anybody. If you don't know what LSU is,
that's what I'm saying.
You don't know what LSU is.
It's top five, bro.
LSU is the premier program. It's five programs that it's like you will leave everything to go there. Number one is Bama. Number two is Georgia. Number three is LSU. Number four is Texas. Number five is Ohio State.
Yep.
You will drop everything. Did we drive one? I think we're missing one. We might be missing one.
Oregon's getting there, but not really. Oregon's more about drip.
Matter of fact, it's not about the money. Like, y'all missing it. It's not about the money.
Right, everybody get paid $50 million.
Correct. It's about what you, like, by the structure and access you have. I'm going to tell y'all right now, Nick Saban has not paid rent since he's been at Alabama. I'm just letting y'all know that he owns.
You know what I'm saying?
No. Like, when I tell you the state will take care of you, it's four people that's the most famous people in Alabama. It's the starting head coach of Alabama football, the starting quarterback for Alabama football, and the starting head coach for Auburn. In Louisiana, it's the head coach of LSU and the head coach of New Orleans Saints.
With that, fellas, I'm gonna throw out these names.
Oh, I got a name for you.
I'm gonna throw out these names, and y'all say yes or no to these names, okay?
For LSU, we're gonna do
Florida, okay?
Okay.
Same list. Cliff Kingsbury.
No, that's funny.
Let me say.
I'm just throwing out. It's a yes or no question. No explanation. Just yes or no.
Jeff. Listen to me. When you talk about,
I'm just throwing names out. I'm just throwing names.
It's only five names that you could. That's.
And let me get to the list, brother.
Go ahead.
Let me just get to the list. Jesse Minter.
No.
All right. Will Stein.
No.
Joe Brady.
No.
It's a possibility.
You say no.
Wait, actually, yes. Please take him.
When I tell you it's a possibility, it's only a possibility because of that 2019 LSU National Championship.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a no. LSU's not.
I don't think you got the pull for it yet. Like, you don't got the big name.
Please take him.
Joe Brady don't know how to recruit.
Please take him.
Dan Mullen.
Yes. Dan Mullen.
No. Dan Mullen don't know
Dan,
how to
Dan Mullen knows how to build a I mean, well, LSU no. doesn't need building, but Dan Mullen knows
Dan,
how to
Dan Mullen doesn't know how to recruit. Like, y'all gotta put that gate over Louisiana. That's the problem right now. But continue, no.
And my thing is, I think he gotta go young.
He does, and he doesn't like going young. He likes the transfer portal.
Todd Monken.
Yes.
No. Leave him alone. Whoa.
Yes.
Nah.
I like Todd Monken.
Absolutely leave him where he's at.
He's on the older side, I think.
But I think Todd Monken, again, I've only seen him as a coordinator. He was a coordinator at Georgia. He did a great job at Georgia, and he's done a great job with the Ravens. But I haven't seen him as a coach. Todd Monken could recruit.
Once you under the byproduct of the Saban, Kirby Smart, mm-hmm. Dabo Sweeney era, you know how to recruit. But continue.
Right.
Coach Brown for Syracuse.
No.
I gotta see more from him.
I like that.
They're not taking a black he's coach. A good, the only a... black coach that they would take would be Frank Wilson. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Clark Lee.
No,
yes.
Bro, stop with the names that you're naming. You're just naming names right now.
No, brother, listen.
Get to the names you want to hear, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Get to the names you want to hear.
Brian Hartline.
Jeff, stop with these names.
Who he coach for?
He's the receiver coach for Ohio
State. He's
the
offensive coordinator for Ohio State.
Receiver I like that coach. Too.
Wait,
I like
wait,
that.
Wait, wait, no. Wait.
I just seen something about him. I just seen something about him.
You know what?
I'm going to name the last guy. I'm finna name the last guy. So
the
everybody
last
says no.
guy?
Freeman Lane Kiffin.
I think that's a
it's
great
It's a strong yes, possibility, but no. I'm going to tell you the actual name.
Marcus Freeman? Are you serious?
No.
Okay,
no. I'm going to tell you the actual name.
I like Lane
Make it quick.
I'm going to tell you the actual names that's going on, and the last one is going to be very surprising to y'all, but it's actually a very good name in Louisiana. Number one is Dabo Sweeney.
Okay.
That's number one.
Dabo. I don't know about Dabo, though.
I don't like it.
Dabo could repeat Clemson over LSU.
Let me tell y'all something. Dabo was one of the prominent figures to the national championship with Les Miles and Nick Saban. So he knows the LSU background. But
one,
I think
that's the first name.
I think he still won the Alabama job.
Yeah,
once
yeah
it comes
that's,
up.
That's what I was gonna say. One number, thing he went to Alabama.
Number two.
And
go ahead.
And he also has Clemson. Like Dabo is at a point where he can do no wrong at Clemson.
Nah, him and his Clemson run seems like it's about to be over after this season.
I don't know. I feel
second
like,
name.
All right, number two is Dan Lanning. He's not leaving Oregon.
He's not leaving Oregon.
He's not leaving Oregon.
Coaches like Lane Kiffin and Dan Lanning, they're building something great. Why are you leaving?
Bro, you know
Lane out.
Lane is not leaving Oregon.
Can somebody explain to me the Lane thing, like why he would leave?
Because
LSU.
Because Ole Miss doesn't. Because like Ole Miss doesn't have that pipeline to actually bring in.
Ole Miss is good every 15 years. So LSU is every.
That's a Lane Kiffin problem.
Yeah,
there's plenty of talent, and I'm not just being a homer. There's plenty of talent in Michigan.
No, you definitely are.
But no,
nobody
but
knows
Lane,
the talent
Lane,
but you,
Lane,
bro.
Lane Kiffin loves to get the transfer portal. The top recruits in Mississippi, only two of like the top 20 recruits are going to Mississippi schools.
Hey, bro, so, listen, bro. You go recruit
Lane,
for Ole Miss then, bro. We do not know that.
Yeah, like the last time a Mississippi school won a national championship was in the 60s. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, that's why you would leave Ole Miss.
Number four. I was about to say Kirk Franklin. James Franklin.
No.
That's a name that's always been brought up. And now these the last two. These are actually
last two.
These are names that are actually been thrown out there. Urban Meyer and Jimbo Fisher.
Urban Meyer is
the best fit to go to that LSU program. Why? Because he knows how to recruit in Florida, he knows how to recruit in Texas, and he knows how to recruit in Louisiana. And guess what? Those are prominent spots for LSU. Now, Jimbo Fisher, he still has ties to LSU. He was supposed to take the job after Nick Saban, but he got the head coaching job over there at Florida State. That's why he didn't take the job. And now it's like he did say he will come back if a prominent job does open up. I'm not mad about the Jimbo Fisher thing because him and Scott Woodward are best friends. So I'm just letting y'all know that's the name that could be out there. But do not be surprised if Dan Lanning takes the head coaching job at LSU.
Speaking about Florida, job opening, there's a lot of rooms by Lane Kiffin.
It's Lane Kiffin.
What are you guys' thoughts on that? Real brief.
That just screams Lane Kiffin.
It does. But if I was Lane Kiffin, I'd go to LSU.
I would definitely too. But let me ask y'all this though. How long do y'all think that Brian Kelly firing was due for at LSU?
Like when should he have got fired?
Cause y'all heard me rant.
I would say it's the perfect timing.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I think it's perfect timing.
Because if they had let him go through the season, I think he would have ruined the LSU program.
But thoughts on Florida. Thoughts on the Florida job opening for Lane Kiffin.
I think it's Lane Kiffin's job.
Yeah, that's his job.
But my question is Freeman.
But my question is,
why would Freeman leave Notre Dame?
Not even that. Why would Lane? You know, Lane has to leave the Ole Miss job to go to Florida or to LSU before the possible playoff starts.
So many more
resources.
He's not leaving that.
He's not leaving that until the season is over.
And then he'll be at a recruiting disadvantage. Like, that's just not a smart move.
But this, I would say it's
because last year, y'all know Lane was like pleading his case saying that he should have been in college football playoffs, and now he has a wide open opportunity to be in there. You think he's going to leave?
I think he leaves for LSU. I don't think he leaves for Florida.
Don't say he's invested because he definitely wanted that Florida job when it first opened up, and they gave it to Billy Napier because he was one of the coaches that was interviewed for that Florida job, and he actually did not get it.
So my thing is, you get your team to the playoffs, you have one loss. You're saying he can't coach it like once you leave.
Oh, that was the other coach for LSU.
Lincoln
Riley. Once you sign that contract, you cannot you're out. You're like, you're done.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sit right.
No, you have to sign the contract before December something, because that's when the portal opens. Yeah, he has to leave before mid-December. And the college football playoff starts in mid-December.
I don't know. He had a meeting with his team.
We don't know what was said, but
nothing. Nobody knows what was said. I think he actually did take that job in Florida already.
Nah.
But you mean to tell me you did all that whining last year to not have your chance in the college football playoffs? You're not going to take it?
Did he think the Florida job was going to open up this quickly?
I mean, no. Nobody thought. Everybody thought that we just didn't know when it would have been open.
I mean, when they started the season, where everybody was looking like, oh, that Florida job might not be over. You feel me? But it's just like, it's the thing when it comes with a grain of salt. Like, you got three great jobs that is opened up right now. You got Penn State, you got LSU, and you got Florida. And it's a possibility that you might have Oregon too.
No.
If you're saying Dan leaves.
If Dan leaves.
Oh,
okay. My bad. Yeah. And Clemson's going to be opened up after this season as well too. And granted, they're playing good right now.
What if LSU open up?
Let me get my resume ready to go. Let me get my resume ready to go, man.
You said who opens up?
FSU.
FSU is going to open up. That's another job.
That's another job, too. Listen, I'm still in Tallahassee, bro.
No. I think they're going to give Hugh Fuse one more season.
No, he got to go. He got to go, man. He got to go. Cam Coleman got to go.
Oh, yeah.
I got to see his talent on display, man.
Hugh Freeze got to get out of here.
Hugh Freeze is still banging on that season that he had with Ole Miss, like,
that one season that they didn't even make the playoffs.
Moving along now, fellas, to some college basketball. We're a week away. Same time next week, college basketball will be tipping off. But, fellas, I want to start off with something historic that just happened this Saturday. 34 years ago, FAMU played against Florida State. And last Sunday, it happened for the first time in 34 years. You know, FAMU went out there. They competed. They lost. They lost 88 to 54. But
so
just, fellas,
that's not that bad.
But just, fellas, thoughts on the game. I know some of you guys were there in attendance. Just go around with you guys' thoughts.
You know, I was at the game with my best friend. It was just, you know, just talking about basketball and stuff like that. It was like, yeah, fam, keeping it close. And then a couple, like, travels started happening. We looked at each other and said, yeah, this where it begins. And the avalanche just started just falling on fam. But now, fam got some bright spots on the team. I'm actually really, like, optimistic about the season. I think 22, Tyler Shirley. He was a bucket for sure.
Played him in high school. He gave me that work.
Jeff, who didn't you play?
He is from Atlanta.
but it's like Jeff didn't play against everybody. Like, he played against Anthony Edwards. Like,
no, I didn't play against Ant. But Tyler Shirley was hooping, though.
Yeah, we definitely got some bright spots. The guard play and the center play. I think our wings are solid.
No, I think it's the center play, if you ask me.
Yeah. You think so?
We only got one center.
Yeah. And our center last 34, night.
34, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
And he did not look good.
That's all we got is one center.
And
outside of him.
Uncoordinated.
Too big to only have two to three rebounds. That's
back to back travels. Like, that's like elementary.
He can't catch the ball. Like, I'm just like, how are you 6'10, 6'11, and you're just so sloppy?
But that's how, like, you know, these college jobs, you know, happen. You're not gonna have a perfect recruiting cycle, you know, your first year. So maybe year two, year three, we might have a more complete roster when it comes to that front. But early on, I think that's where we'll get killed, especially on the glass. We're gonna have to have our guards and our wings, you know, attack the glass a lot.
Honestly, I mean, on the glass, aside from the actual center, I think we did pretty well on the glass. I mean, everybody, people were grabbing rebounds early on. It was just later on in the game, we got outmanned.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was an exhibition game or what, but it was really fast-paced game.
It was, because 25 turnovers from us, 22 from Florida State.
Yeah.
So that says enough right there.
But I think we'll be very competitive in SWAC play.
Yeah, I do too.
Like I was saying earlier, we're not going to be a bottom feeder in the SWAC. We're going to be a middle of the pack team. We're going to get to the SWAC playoffs. I think so. I would put some money on it that we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and one thing I did want to see. Now, I don't know. Again, this could just be because of the talent difference, but I need to see more aggression, like getting into the paint. I feel like
not a lot of paint touches for sure.
Yeah, no, it was barely any paint touches, and when we did get in the paint, they were just dropping the ball in the paint and going out of bounds. And I feel like that's probably something that's going to improve as we go in the SWAC play. You know, I don't want to call them less.
There was some malpractice with that refereeing. Them refs
that
were
too.
Bad.
That too.
Them refs were terrible. I hope they don't call no SEC, ACC, SWAG, anything, because them referees was not it. I will say, though, something they could clean up. When it came to their slobs, sideline out of bounds, if people don't know what that is, they had little guards pass inbounding the ball. I didn't like that. when Florida State had like 6'8", 6'9" guys.
It was always taking 3 to 4 seconds to get.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that. My preference. That's just me though. But
yeah, and looking at the stat sheet, we only had Shirley was the only one that had more than
double digits.
Yeah. And I
the only guy.
That's not a sign
not winning
that,
basketball.
Yeah. But like Jeff said, we didn't get a lot of paint touches, and maybe that's because of the
size difference,
the power forward size difference. But it was an encouraging performance. But it's some things that I would hope to see us improve on.
Now, fellas, moving on to the biggest landscape of college basketball. I do it every year. I like early predictions. Who's going to win out their conference? I want to go around the room and ask between ACC all the way to Big 12 who they have winning it.
Are we doing Big East too?
We can do Big East. Right. Starting off with Big East. Actually, let's start there, Q. Big East, go.
Well, UConn. That's just simple as that.
Yeah, that's
Big
true.
East. Yeah, UConn. I like St. John's, though.
No, their spacing was terrible. The exhibition game I watched. I like Creighton as a sleeper. But I'm going to go with UConn, of course. That doesn't change my mind. Mike?
Big East, I'm going UConn as well.
Country West?
Big East, I'm going UConn.
Shout out UConn.
Big 12. This is going to be a great
it is.
Conference,
This is a very,
Q.
Deep, very deep conference.
Oh, I know who I'm going with.
I mean,
it's not Kansas, so come on, Q.
Yeah, it's not going to be Kansas. Yeah, it would either be Texas Tech or Houston.
Yep. Houston.
Houston's the boring pick to me, but...
I like Texas Tech, man.
Is it really? Or is it just the more conventional pick?
It's the more conventional pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going Arizona. I'm a big fan of Koa. I think he's gonna have a.
It's because of Bryce James.
Bryce James.
I literally just said Koa P. Like,
yeah, you just had as though Koa out there, but that, you know it because of Bryce. It was not all get no because tech. Of Bryce James.
Nah, that's I like the class they brought in. I think Koa's of that mode of the 6'8", 6'9", wings of the Tatums, the Banqueros, those kind of guys. So I think he'll have a pretty high impact year. And He might probably. But more than likely, he's going to be one of them low usage, high draft pick guys like Carter Bryant was this past year in their system. I think he's a little more polished offensively to get, you know, those higher statistics.
You know what? I am going to go Texas Tech. They have Jacob Toppin. Uh-huh. He's one of the best players in the country. I'm going to switch up and go Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Tech.
I'm still going Houston.
I'm sticking with Houston. West.
Houston for sure.
Great. SEC.
Ooh. Kentucky.
LSU.
Ooh, you're going with that $10+ million roster, huh?
Yeah.
Kentucky.
I like what I saw from Mark Pope in year one, and Mark Pope now he has a full year under his belt. He's brought in some more talent. I like Kentucky.
He said pay to win.
SEC.
The roster, yeah, SEC. The roster is pay to win.
Hey, look,
just
look,
being
look.
Honest.
I'm just being a homer. I'm going with LSU. So that's just me being a homer. But my
that's
ideal,
real.
But my ideal pick is still going to be Auburn.
Okay.
I was going to pick Auburn. I like their guard play a lot. You're too hot, but I'm gonna go with Florida.
I'm gonna go with the national champs. Yeah, I'm
gonna
go with Florida as well.
I like their backcourt better than I like. Auburn's backcourt plus Haas back. Alex Condon came back.
My only thing with Florida is
Xavier Lee.
Yeah,
for sure.
But is that enough to replace?
Is that enough to replace Clayton and
Martin?
I think so.
No, especially not defensively. Doesn't even replace them. Not even close.
How many SEC teams we got this year?
A lot.
And no, I'm in the SEC tournament. Not in the SEC.
In the tournament.
Are you talking about last year or this year?
No, I'm saying this year. How many y'all think we're going to get this year?
Four to five max. Four?
Bama, Kentucky, Florida.
Auburn.
Tennessee.
That's it.
Five teams at least.
That's it.
Texas. Wait. Say it again.
Texas is not making it.
No. Say it again.
I said.
Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, Bama, Kentucky. That's it. That stops.
So we're not going to say Ole Miss?
Mississippi State?
Dude,
Texas?
No.
He said Ole Miss basketball.
Arkansas?
He's right. Arkansas is the 16. I forgot about Arkansas.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah,
Okay, six. I'll give you
that's
Arkansas.
That's where it stops.
There's no Texas A&M.
So Mississippi State's not getting in.
There's no Vandy. There's no Oklahoma. There's none of that.
I ain't saying nothing about any of them teams.
I'm just saying for reference. There's none of them.
Yeah, it's them six right there.
It's them six.
All right, next conference.
Wes, who'd you have?
I had Kentucky.
Okay.
I like Kentucky, so you got to pay to win, man.
Absolutely.
You got to pay to win. Pay to play, man. I respect game. ACC.
Man.
Let's go around the room, fellas.
Florida State. Don't even gotta ask.
They're gonna be bottom feeders after what I just saw Sunday.
Duke.
Duke.
Great.
You know what? I don't even want to pick. Can I say Louisville? I'm gonna say North Carolina.
You saw that stinker Michael Brown put up?
That's an exhibition.
Hey, bro.
He put against Kansas.
You just right, up, right, right.
It's for my agendas, man.
I wasn't. DP showed up.
So Duke all around, correct?
Yeah.
Duke.
Great. North Carolina.
What you mean Duke all around? Yeah, all right. Duke. I'll pick Duke.
There we go.
I would have picked Duke if I didn't pick Florida State.
Big Ten.
Purdue.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, this is very controversial. I like this. Come on.
I was thinking Purdue.
Illinois might be decent. I'm going to go Purdue, though.
It's going to be a really good conference.
And I really like, great conference. I like UCLA too, but my official pick is Michigan.
I like UCLA. That's a good pick.
I'm going Purdue.
I'm going Michigan.
I'm the only one going Purdue.
I'm going Purdue.
I'm going Terps. Okay.
I'm not mad at that pick.
That's not a bad pick.
I'm going Maryland.
Good state.
Great state. I'm going Maryland, though.
Horrible state.
JB.
I'm going Maryland. But now, fellas, to end off the segment, a lot of guys are in this college basketball space.
That's very true.
This is a tough race for the number one overall pick.
That's also very true.
You know, we haven't seen this type of tight competition since the 2022 draft class, but just go around the room. Who do you have as the best
Bryce
freshman?
James.
Dude.
Bryce James. Q.
Darren Peterson.
Boozer.
Bryce.
AJ.
I'm gonna go Cam Boozer. I think Cam.
I like AJ DeMasta.
I like Nate too.
24 points in one half.
Nate, man, he's going to be a project.
Darren Peterson,
sadly.
24 points in one half.
I heard somebody say Nate.
Not for the favorite to go number one, but I just
like him, bro. I like him at Tennessee.
Well, I think you should watch the film when they play Duke. He didn't look that good. I'm going to go with Uno, that boy Cam Boozer, man. I'm going to call him Uno. So every time I say Uno on the podcast.
What about, what?
23.
What is it? Vente Quattro? Whatever number 24 is that. Darren Peterson.
He finna go to Vintage. They got him mocked to Boston.
Anyways, fellas, we're gonna do some NFL game picks. We're gonna go back to regular schedule program with our game picks this time. We're not gonna switch it up like I usually do. Just keep it simple with the game picks, fellas, for this week of week 9. Starting off, this is a terrible Thursday night football game. Baltimore Ravens versus the Dolphins. Who do we have, fellas? Goodness.
We got B-more.
Lamar back,
this is,
right?
This is terrible.
Lamar is back.
He should be.
And we coming off a dub.
Hometown team.
Shout out to Snoop, man.
Shout out Snoop.
Snoop did his thing.
He did.
Ravens.
Yeah, I'm not.
We're not.
He got to earn that name.
He got to earn that. Respectfully.
He a Pro Bowler. What you mean?
Wait.
I don't even like the Ravens. My bad.
I'm going to say that in your
You like it.
So you're going to risk not liking them to edit? All right, for sure. I'll put you
in the Dolphins. No, put Ravens. I was joking.
Okay, everybody Ravens?
Yeah, beat them without Lamar.
Wait.
Ravens versus Dolphins. Horrible Thursday night game, country. Come on.
It's a great one. You want us to watch some offense? Man, watch that game.
Nah, I'm not watching that. Bears versus Cincinnati Bengals. Who we got?
I got the Chicago Bears.
Cincinnati.
We're going Chicago.
You know, we just beat them without Lamar, so they're not looking too hot. But bear down.
Everybody's
just
because
I don't like the Bengals.
Bengals.
Bengals just lost to the Jets.
It's always Q.
But the...
to the Jets.
This your game, kid?
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but they lost last second.
I mean,
off of
I mean,
Bryce.
I still
off
got
of Bryce
so,
Hall.
So do you
touchdown
have the, so
pass.
The Bengals or not?
My bad.
I have the Bengals.
I'm talking about JB.
I'm going to go Bears.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That's what he just said.
Minnesota Vikings versus Detroit Lions. Who we got?
Detroit. By a million.
Detroit.
I think JJ coming Wentz. Back, but I think JJ coming back.
Really?
It don't matter.
That's cool.
It doesn't matter.
And I rock with JJ, but don't matter.
Yeah.
So everybody is Detroit.
Jared Goff on the other side, man.
Mm-hmm.
Next game, Panthers versus Packers. Who we got?
Go Pat, though.
Packers.
You said who country?
I said give me the Packers.
Okay.
Give me Green Bay.
Panthers disappointed me.
Go Pat, go.
Everybody's
bro,
Packers.
Y'all know the spread for the Packers and Panthers game is
10 and a half.
No, 12 it's 12. And a half. It's 12 and a half now.
It shouldn't be that high.
That's not crazy.
That's two touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not crazy.
Chargers versus the Titans. Who we got, fellas?
Chargers.
Go Bolts.
This is a boring week.
Bro, the NFL schedule been mid.
The NFL scheduling some good teams against some cake, bro. They're making me mad.
Chargers versus Titans.
Oh, Chargers.
Chargers.
New England Patriots versus the Falcons. Who we got?
I got New England.
Patriots by a bunch.
Falcons have disappointed.
Hey, bro, if we peep the Patriots schedule, bro, it's so cake.
Y'all know the Patriots 62.
What you mean? They just played the Browns. Hard team.
Anyways.
Shut up,
dude.
Everybody's Pats?
Yes.
Great. Next game. 49ers versus the Giants. Who do we have?
Bro, the 49ers sold me in fantasy.
I got a 49ers.
Who are they playing?
The Giants in MetLife.
Oh, yeah, nah.
Somebody's getting hurt. I'm already getting hurt.
I got the 49ers.
Everybody's they
49ers. Better, better turn boring, up. I need them in fantasy.
Q, where your crazy pick at?
We'll see.
We're not betting on the Panthers no more, Stu?
He gonna say the Saints gonna beat the Rams.
I think this next pick.
No.
I think this next pick gonna be the crazy pick.
He's like, I heard something about the Rams.
Colts versus Steelers. Who we got?
I got the Steelers. Give me the Steelers.
Colts. Oh, I'll give
everybody
but Q.
No, I got the Colts.
I need the Colts to win, boys. The Ravens are coming back in the division. The Ravens are coming back in the division. Colts, bro, please.
I got the Steelers.
Country, too?
Oh, really?
Steelers.
It's
Colts.
What do you mean, oh, really, JB? You have one win.
I wasn't even talking to you, gang. What's going on?
Broncos versus the Texans. Who we got?
Broncos.
I'm going to go Texans.
CJ Stroud
I'm
go Texans.
CJ Stroud is not back because his O-line is still bad, bro. Nick Benito
for 39.
I got the Broncos.
I got Broncos. Hey, you know,
so everybody but Mike.
Hey, Jeff.
Mike and Q. All right, great. What's up?
To make this more interesting, when the weeks look like this, let's just start betting over and under.
What?
Absolutely not.
No. It's like if you get the over, you win. If you get the under, you lose. Like,
nah,
I'm not.
What?
Nah.
All right. So the spread is -3, right? If you say it's gonna be more than they're gonna win by more than 3 points, you win. If you said okay. They, yeah.
Nah.
Exactly. Too many numbers. Next game. Jaguars versus the Raiders. Who we got?
Jags.
Ew, Jags.
That's nasty.
Literally, I don't know. We all about to pick the same team. Go to the next game. You don't even got to go to. Yeah. Everybody got LA.
Q, you got something for us?
Yeah, we're going to skip that.
Yeah.
Wait, Q?
What?
You got something?
For what?
New Orleans versus the
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay. Ooh, KC versus the Bills.
Y'all know who I got. I got 1-5.
Listen, the Bills, they dropped two against some teams that were very
really,
beatable.
Yeah, y'all haven't really impressed me much. I ain't going to lie.
They haven't impressed me either.
I'm going to go Chiefs.
Chiefs are on the come up. I'm going to go Chiefs.
But it's one of those games. Every year, the Bills always win in the regular season. And it's at home.
Country.
Chiefs y'all get a lot of teams at home, Q.
I got it.
There's some Bills tampering going on.
No, we can't talk about this because the Chiefs just had like 8 straight matchups in Arrowhead against us. So I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
this is only the second year in a row.
Advantage in the playoffs.
This is only the second year in a row. We've been in Orchard Park.
No, I'm talking about just this season. Like, you played a lot of, like, your only tough games at home.
Yeah, well, I really have no bump, if I'm being honest.
That just means the rest of the season is away games.
Against Kate.
Next game.
You can't control it.
Sunday Night Football.
Tampa.
Seattle Seahawks versus the Washington Commanders.
Seahawks.
Seattle.
I got Washington.
Ooh.
For what?
Big country.
For who? Jaden Daniels is going to be back.
He's going to be back, and he's going to be fighting for his life.
So everybody but country for Seattle, correct?
I got Seattle.
Yeah, I got Seattle.
Jason going for 150.
This is a bad primetime games outside of Sunday night.
Week,
Monday Night Football, Arizona Cardinals versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys by a lot.
What was their decision making this Monday night?
The Cowboys are the Cowboys, so...
The Cardinals are supposed to be better this year.
I mean,
not the Bills.
Cardinals are a good, bad team, bro. Give me the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray homecoming, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, JB said the Cardinals?
Give me the Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals, too.
Hey, just to let y'all know, Kyler Murray has never lost at AT&T Stadium. He's 15-0.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Are you kind of high school?
High school, college, and NFL, he's never lost to AT&T Stadium.
We'll make it 16.
But he's like, this is my crib.
But guess what? It's 15-1 this weekend.
So, Country Mike is Cowboys. Anybody else?
Nah, Cowboys. I got Cowboys.
West?
Yeah, no. Right, Cowboys going to put up 40.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, great. Now, fellas, we're going to end off the show with NBA. And, of course, we're going to talk about what transpired in the NBA. You know, stellar first week.
Yeah.
But by the time it got to Thursday, FBI stepped in and shut everything down. You have Chauncey Billups now in custody with the FBI, dealing with mafia ties. You got Terry Rozier back in custody again, dealing with gambling allegations. What do you guys' thoughts, fellas?
Bad business, man.
I'm happy Terry Rozier got caught because he was terrorizing my team. You know, if you're going to do it, why'd you have to do it on my team? Could have done it somewhere else because he was a bucket on the Hornets from time to time. They came to my team and started selling. So, you know, glad we caught him. Should have been on his own.
He said, glad we caught him.
Good job, team.
I'm happy for Tiago Splitter, new head coach of Trailblazers. That's all I have to say.
Mike?
I was actually hoping,
what's the word I'm looking for? I was expecting a lot from the Blazers this year.
I still am.
Like what? What?
I like the Blazers.
I thought they were going to have a really elite in development. With
I thought they
talent.
Were going to be a play-in team.
I thought they were going to, yeah. I don't know if they were going to get there.
What,
but
what made you get to that point that you think that they were going to be a play-in
team? Did I think they were going to be a play-in team?
Not so.
Their team is solid.
Denny Ivy had a great year last year. Tormani Kamara, he's a gem that they found in a
all
trade.
All defensive.
Well, I think the Ayton trade, he was in that trade. And he, like JB just said, an all-defensive player who has a lot more room to grow on the offensive side of the ball. They had a solid team. And they just acquired Jrue Holiday in the Damian Lillard trade, which I think is a key piece.
I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking like 11 seed.
I think
they can make a play-in.
They're going to be like a 10th or 11th seed. I think they can get into the play-in.
Maybe 10. They're going to be better than like the Suns, the Jazz, the Grizzlies. That's about it.
Q, your thoughts on everything that just transpired?
You just can't do that. And I mean,
someone write that down, man. You just can't do that.
And I think it was a video out there of like the glass. It was like these special sunglasses that Chauncey Billups is wearing, and they wrote in invisible ink on the back of the cars. Like this is a real planned out scheme. But at the end of the day, like I said, you just can't do that. Like what? You're an NBA coach and you're an NBA player. Y'all have money. Chauncey Billups has a ring. He's a head coach.
Hall of Famer,
ring, head coach. What are you doing this for?
So some of the things that people don't understand after people stop playing basketball or football is the money stops once you stop playing the game. So
but you also gotta value your money too.
But at the time you thinking that money gonna keep going. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's like you just got a paycheck, right?
My thing though, like this isn't Glenn Davis. This is Chauncey Billups has had a coaching job. Since he got out the league.
Hear me out though. You can say that about a boatload of coaches. Not a boatload of coaches, a boatload of players. Like, it's no reason why Adrian Peterson was broke before he even got out the league. You know what I'm saying? It's like people, like some people go from making $0 a year to making $20 million the next year. Yeah. So it's like they don't know the value of money. They think this money is going to be consistent. Like, oh, $20 million is going to last me a lifetime. But if you just bought 10 Rolls Royces, like, I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm just saying. But
yeah, he probably has a gambling problem, like we saw. Like, he probably gambled his money away to an extent. So it's
like you don't necessarily ever think that money is going to stop. But it's like, then when you're not getting them same checks as you getting and you can't bet them big amounts or buy these big, large amounts, you start doing like stuff just to get by. You feel me? Like it's people that's millionaires living paycheck to paycheck. Like imagine how that sounds.
Yeah, yep. And all I can say really about it is like the playmaker should go play poker, you know?
All right. Anyways, I think it's pretty unfortunate. You know, you're in the league. Like, I'm not going to say you have everything set up because, you know, some people have their own mental problems and their own addictions. But you have it set up for you, you know, to not put yourself in that position to begin with. But you're also leaking information to outsiders that are betting on games. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, that's messing up the integrity with the league. I'm not going to say I'm glad the FBI is cracking down on this, but at a certain point in time, like the sports betting was getting out of hand, low key.
It is.
It was getting out of hand, and
shout out John Tate Porter.
Anyways, it was getting out of hand, but hopefully NBA players learn from this. Hopefully staff members, trainers, all these people that like are into it, or their friends are into it, like they learn a lesson from this.
I'm curious though.
Give the Kings their ring from 2002.
So like what the so like the guys like Malik Beasley, Terry Rozier, who like probably bet on themselves, and John Tate Porter.
Yeah.
Like what they do? Like get a discounted pick, like a Giannis 5.5 rebounds discounted pick, and put their points on the under, and like just
telling people to bet the under and then underperforming. I'm pretty sure.
So like wow.
At least that's what Jonte Porter did.
Yeah. So like somebody like Jeff Teague was talking about it on his podcast. He said some organization will have players on a minute restriction. You feel me?
Yeah, and they'll leak that.
And they will leak that. And be like, hey, I'm only playing 19 minutes this game.
That's what happened with one of the other guys who got in trouble. It was
the
former
coach on the staff.
Damian Jones.
Yes. And so that like they would leak like when LeBron was on a minute restriction or when he wouldn't be playing.
Or even leak the injury report before he comes out.
Correct.
Yeah.
They could never get Bron. Bron did it, they couldn't get Bron.
It was one
time. Bron is in the Illuminati. You cannot get Bron.
Like it was one time. everybody was sports betting, right? So they had an over and under of what's his name? Not David Green. Green that played for Draymond Green playing for the what's it called? When he was playing on the Warriors. And his over and under was 20 points, you feel me? And if you bet the under, you was like, $5 would have won you like $1,000. But it got leaked that Draymond was only going for the tip off. and was going to sit the rest of the game. So everybody put their money on the under, and by the time you look at it, that slip was voided for everybody. You remember? Because everybody heard about it like prior.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy money. Like, if I know like I'm playing the league and I know my homeboy Jeff be betting, and I'm like, hey Jeff, just to let you know, I'm only playing 5 minutes this game. Like, you better bet the under on everything.
My thing is, for players like Terry Rozier and Jontay Porter, nobody is betting on y'all. So you're going to see, it's clear that that influx of bets, like, it's going to be easily noticeable. You know what I'm saying?
You know how they get caught?
How?
Because you're not betting physical cash. You're betting electronic money. Yeah. Money that you're not seeing. So that money is getting tracked by somebody, and it's going in different accounts.
Yeah.
Like, if it is in
Terry Rozier was also at the casino, too. Or at least in the past investigation that the NBA did, he was at the casino.
To be honest with you, the casino is actually the smartest and worst place for you to bet at. Why? Because it's no phone leaking back to you, but at the end of the day, it is a camera looking at you. But the thing is, it's like, you can say what you want about Terry Rozier. He might not be betting on himself. He's telling you who to bet on. Like,
he might be leaking information.
Information. That's the problem. Like, Chauncey Billups is doing the same thing. Like, when you get a gambling addiction, you try to find. You want to know how badly I knew I had a gambling addiction? I used to add ChatGPT for my gambling.
All sets. Right. So, anyways, fellas, end off
the gambling
show.
Hotline.
1-800,
I need
help. I was about to say, we need to put a little
something in there, 1-800-I-DON'T-WIN. That's the game.
To end off the show, fellas, just go around the room real quick. First week thoughts, whether it's your favorite team or favorite player from the first week performance, go around the room real quick.
Oh, from our team?
It could be your team. It could be a player from another team. It could be anything. First week.
You know, I wasn't going to talk about the Magic. I'm still not going to talk about him.
Oh, thank God.
Nah, I'm going to shout out Melo Ball, though. He's been hooping.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Putting up 28 points, about 9 rebounds, 8 assists, or vice versa. Got the Hornets 2-1, then won some good competitive games.
Man, shout out SGA, man. SGA been ball. I didn't think he was gonna come back this season. He on his vengeance, like he trying to win another ring. Man, shout out SGA, and shout out to y'all that I don't like for thinking I'm a bandwagon fan, because the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Now you did say that in 2023.
Yes,
yeah,
bro. Like,
I'll give you credit. You said 2023.
I'm like, is it okay for somebody to actually like a team and not be a bandwagon? So it's cool though. But
that's how I feel about Kansas City.
Anyways, go ahead, Wes.
I like, shout out the Heat for sure. Like, going 2-1. Shout out Norman Powell. You know, beat the Knicks.
Norman.
Who y'all lost to?
We lost to the...
I got you. Y'all lost
Magic. We lost to the Magic. We lost to the Magic. Wait, hold on. Shout out Wemby, because you're ridiculous. That was wild.
Oh, yeah, Wemby's crazy. That's the other person, Wemby.
Cavs look good, 2-1. Love that. My favorite performance so far has been Keyshawn George from the Wizards. Had a little 40 bomb. My biggest surprise is the Golden State Warriors. I didn't really have that much stock invested into them just because they're old, but they just going out there doing their thing. Kuminga looks brought in. Very happy about that.
Quick shout out to Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine has been hooping. Please give please give him the keys start Russ. Please start Russell Westbrook. He works so much better than Dennis Schroeder. But going past the Kings, Giannis, it seems like Giannis has taken yet another step.
Had 40 on us, bro.
And not even just 40, but he's getting 20 rebounds, 17 rebounds. Bucks, do something, please. Because I don't know how long Giannis is going to keep this up, but it seems like he just keeps on getting better and better. I don't even know how that's possible. But Milwaukee's not translating that to wins.
So, he was my pick for MVP.
He was my pick as well.
It was clipped. Milwaukee, someone clip it.
Please do something. Please put some more people around
Giannis.
He's
about to have a 2018 bronze season, bro. Trash team.
And we can't let Giannis go to a different team. We can't let him go to San Antonio.
No, we definitely can't. Bring him to
Miami.
I don't
want him to go to San Antonio.
Come to Miami. It's just like Greece, bro. But there's more white women. Let's do it.
All right.
What? That's a crazy bitch.
My week one standout. I think the whole overall like rookie class. You know, definitely. Cooper Flagg had a standout performance.
Cedric Coward.
Bryce Harper. VJ Edgecombe against the Celtics. Yes.
Bryce Harper.
I saw
Dylan Harper. Excuse me, Dylan. Y'all kept saying Bryce James too much. Dylan Harper, excuse me. Cedric Coward. I think everybody had a standout performance in week one. I think this rookie class is going to be very strong.
I saw Cooper Flagg boomed on somebody. What did he put up a bunch of points too?
Yeah.
It's definitely like a complete 180 from last year's draft class.
Yeah.
Last year's draft class was garbage.
Shout out Rick
Sarla. Rasase, he looked all right. But like this year, we have like
multiple all-stars out of this class. This is going to be like 2018.
I don't know about multiple all-stars, no, but there's some good hoopers, though. Nah, there's some great hoopers. There's some great hoopers in this class.
Cooper Flagg and VJ could make it if they like lock in and continue.
VJ, D-Hart, Trey Johnson. He didn't even
Trey Johnson
up.
Been hooping.
Trey Johnson, yes.
I hope LeBron retires after this year.
Okay.
So then he got to wait on Bryce.
The next athlete from Ohio can take his place.
Nah, just because he had his wait to think that he was about to do a farewell tour just to tell us about a new brand of alcohol.
Yeah, that was like the ultimate like finesse. I respect Game though.
Yeah.
But anyways, fellas, end off the show. We're gonna get to my favorite part: the shout outs on the first thing. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shout outs to the guys in the studio. Shout out me, man. I just applied for graduation. Time to get up out of here, man. Let's keep grinding. Let's keep being great.
Yeah, first off, I got to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love. Got to give a shout out to the guys in the studio, my family, you know, for continually pushing me to be great and stuff like that. Got to give a shout out to the Magic. Holly, you got to do better, man. Jace got his first NBA minutes on Saturday or Sunday. I mean, yeah, it was Saturday.
Hey, amen.
Played pretty decent.
These are long shout outs. Are you reading notes?
We really missing
shout outs on his notes, mind you guys.
We really missing Moritz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. Those are the heart and soul of our team. Without them, we have a losing record. With them,
bro,
we're title contenders.
Game three, bro.
Shout out to
who you know.
I know them. But
anyway.
He knows them in his heart, man.
Alright, slim out.
All right, since you want to go that route, shout out LSU football for getting rid of Brian Kelly. That's it.
I want to shout out God. I want to shout out my family. Shout out the playmakers, except of y'all to be gatekeeping TV20.
That's crazy.
And then shout out the Heat for winning, and shout out Keaton Mitchell and Snoop, man. Shout out.
Shout out to God, man. I'm so thankful and blessed to be here. Be here with the playmakers, man. This was a dream freshman year, so it's really cool to see. Shout out to Sam Merrow, bro, over there hooping.
Shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi, with the exception of Madison County. And shout out to James Cook. And shout out Jake Lane, he just walked in.
Hats on the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.